For those of you who've been coming here for a long while, you'll know that for a long while we've been going through the book of Ephesians on a Sunday morning. We've had some stops off along the way and done the occasional other thing, but this morning is the end of our journey. I can see some disappointed faces. This morning is the last passage from the book of Ephesians. So, if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're starting at verse 18 to the end of the book. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray for also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. So we come to that end of chapter 6 of Ephesians. And earlier in that chapter, Paul has used that great image of the armor of God, the image of a Roman soldier with all his armor on, as an image of faithfulness, an image of the people of God standing firm in the struggle against the dark forces in the world. And then, as Paul goes through chapter 6, we see that in the face of this spiritual battle, in this spiritual struggle, Paul issues a call to prayer. A call for the people of God to engage with their God. A call to remember that the journey of life and the journey of our Christian life is not something we go through alone, but actually we have God standing by our side. God is our strength and our resource. Now, Paul, in verse 18, says the word all three times. And there's something really important about this word all in the original Greek that it was written in. And this is going to completely blow your minds. That little word all actually means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean just a small part. It means all. So when Paul says pray in the Spirit on all occasions, he means pray in the Spirit on all occasions. In other words, let all your prayers be inspired and guided and made effective by the Holy Spirit. And what he says, because in a spiritual battle, we need a spiritual resource. And when he says pray with all kinds of prayer, he doesn't mean to say just pray the odd prayer, or just focus on praise or thanksgiving. He means pray all kinds of prayer. Pray prayers of adoration. Pray prayers of thanksgiving. Make your requests to God. Pray prayers of confession. I have to say, sometimes in the modern church, the prayers of confession are the ones that get left. Pray all kinds of prayers. And then he says, as if those two alls weren't enough, pray for all the Lord's people. That's not just a few of the Lord's people, but all of them. Quite a big task, isn't it? But pray for the ones that you like, but also pray for the ones that you don't like. Pray for the ones you know locally, but pray for the Lord's people nationally. Pray for the Lord's people globally as well. Pray for those who are your friends. Pray for those who are your acquaintances, you know in passing. Pray for those you don't know. Paul's call to prayer is all-encompassing. In other words, he's saying, pray the whole time. With every kind of prayer you can think of, with everyone that you can think of, those that you know and don't know, and make sure all your prayers are prayed in the power of the Spirit. Paul is pushing them to have an all-encompassing view of prayer that matches the height, the width, the depth, and the length of God's love for all people that he's spoken about earlier in Ephesians. And then Paul says, verse 19, oh, and please don't forget to pray for me. Now, Paul was a great leader in the early church, and he'd seen God at work in miraculous ways. But he knows that he still needs the prayers of the people of God. He still needs God at work in him. He was a humble leader. He knew how much he needed God. And what Paul says there reminds us we need to pray for our leaders in the church. And especially your leaders here at Woodside Baptist Church. During this time where we're seeking a senior minister. Pray for the elders, pray for the deacons. Because we know, just like Paul knows, we know that we need your prayers. Your prayers for wisdom, your prayers for strength, your prayers for grace. Your prayers for discernment. But also, generally, the leaders need your prayers. So I challenge you, perhaps go up and talk to one of the deacons or talk to one of the elders and say to them, what can I pray for you for this week? Because our leaders need our prayers. Now, Paul sends Tychicus to keep them updated, verses 21 and 22. He sends Tychicus so that Tychicus can bring the news of what's happening to Paul, so that their prayers may be informed and personal. And Tychicus is mentioned in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. And there we find that he's from the Asian province and he's accompanied Paul on his final journey, missionary journey to Macedonia. We get the impression, especially from this passage, that Tychicus is someone that Paul trusts. And so Paul gives him the letter to the Ephesians to bring with him. Now in New Testament times, it wasn't like you could just go off to the post office, buy an envelope, buy your first class stamp, stick your letter in the envelope, put the stamp on, and hope it gets there the next day. Even today we have problems with first class letters not getting there the next day. But it wasn't like that in the New Testament. There was no royal mail. There was no red letter box at the end of your road. You had to send someone you knew with the letter. If you were rich enough, perhaps you could afford to get a courier to do it for you. But most of all, it was by people that you trusted to take that message to those people. So Tychicus is someone that Paul trusts. Someone that Paul says, this is someone who I can entrust this message with. Now, I want to draw two main things out of our passage today. And the first thing that I want to draw out of the passage is about that faithful service that Tychicus gives. Tychicus knew Paul very well. And you see that in this passage. Paul describes him as a dear brother. There's a sense of intimacy there, close relationship, close friendship. And Paul also describes him as a faithful servant, in other words, a trustworthy servant. But that's not the only time that Paul mentions Tychicus in this way. At the end of his letter to Colossians, Paul also mentions Tychicus as being a good and faithful servant. This is not a fleeting moment of faithful service, but a life orientation of faithful service on the part of Tychicus. In some ways, Tychicus is a role model for us. He is that image of what it means to be a faithful servant of God. If we contrast with some of the role models that we have around today, celebrities who've been on reality TV, and then the youth look up to. Completely different kind of role model. Probably the equivalent of Tychicus' faithful servant service today would be the nurse who does a 12-hour shift at the local hospital day after day, week after week, year after year. Who doesn't make it on to TV or the local newspapers. Tychicus isn't someone we know a great deal about, but what we do know is that he was a faithful servant. If we hadn't had his faithful service, we wouldn't have had the book of Ephesians or the books of Colossians in the New Testament, because he was the one who carried the letters. You know, the church is built on the back of faithful servants of Christ. And not celebrity leaders. The church is built on the backs of the likes of you and me. People who are faithful servants of God from week to week, day to day, year to year. Not getting the applause of millions, but waiting for the applause from our Father in heaven. Tychicus is commended to the Christians at Ephesus as faithful. And think of the people that you've encountered throughout your Christian journey. Those who've given good and faithful service. Those who've made an impact on you because they quietly and silently served God. You know, Jesus told the parable of the talents, didn't he? About the master who gives his servants some bags of money. And then he goes away. And then he comes back. And two of those servants have put that money to good use and made more. And it's that parable of how we use the gifts that God's given us. And Jesus, in that parable, says to those who've made more, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Tychicus was someone who you could say of, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and someone who the Father will one day say, "Good and faithful servants." You know, what would Paul say of me? What would Jesus say of me? What would Paul say of you? What would Jesus say of you? Are we the faithful servant of God? You know, to be faithful, we need to be intentional. You don't just accidentally fall into being faithful, like Tychicus. When you leave here this morning, do you intend to deal with life as it happens, or do you intend to be a faithful servant of God as you deal with life as it happens? There's a difference. In the first one, faithfulness comes as an afterthought. In the second one, faithfulness comes as a commitment that weaves its way through our lives. Will we be intentionally faithful in our service of God and of each other? Will our faithfulness to God match God's faithfulness to us in Jesus Christ, who was the servant who died on the cross for our sins, who weren't willingly? That is a sign of God's faithfulness to us. Will our faithfulness match his faithfulness? Second thing that I want to draw out of this passage is Paul's attitude in the difficult struggle. So Paul is there. He's facing the struggle against the dark spiritual forces. He's writing from prison. He says, I'm an ambassador in chains. He knows he needs support. He knows he needs their prayer. But in the midst of that, he does not become self-focused. Now, Paul sends Tychicus not just to bring news of his needs, but also to encourage, we're told, the Christians at Ephesus. Paul has more on his mind than himself. He was looking to encourage those in the church in Ephesus. And that encouragement is important. As I look back over my Christian life, the people who've encouraged me in my faith over the years. A youth worker who took time when I was going through a tough time in my teenage years. Who took time to look out for me, care for me, encourage me. A minister who, when I was a very green, kind of young, in my early 20s, when I expressed that I felt God was calling me to ministry, that minister who took me under his wing and encouraged me, gave me wisdom, gave me advice, mentored me. Even though at times he was going through difficult periods as well. More than this, though, Paul ends his letter with words of blessing. Like the blessings we sometimes use at the end of our service together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in this letter, was speaking words of blessing over the people at the church of Ephesus. He was praying for God to bless them. Praying for God's divine favor to be on them. He demonstrates his wish that the people at in the church at Ephesus be blessed. Paul is looking beyond himself and his situation. And the thing to notice here, though, at the end of Ephesians is this is not just any random blessing. Paul actually starts off the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 4, with the words, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace start the letter. Grace and peace end the letter in his blessing. This is not a random blessing at the end. This is Paul's desire and it has been his theme through the whole book. And we can see that grace and peace have been major themes through the whole book as we look through the different chapters that we've done over the last few months. in chapter 1. The grace, the undeserved, the loving kindness, and the favor of God is found in Jesus Christ. And we see the grace of how God welcomes us to him. In chapter 2, we see how when we're still dead in our sins, through grace and mercy, God made us alive in Christ. And we're saved by God's grace. And through this, God brought peace between Jew and Gentile. They are no longer strangers and are hostile to each other, but are brothers and sisters, family in Christ. Reconciliation and peace. Chapter 3, Paul describes the wonderful extent of God's love and grace, which is high, wide, deep, and long. Chapter 4, Paul talks about the bond of peace and the unity which comes from the fact that we are receivers of God's grace. And chapter 4 to 6, Paul is essentially then saying, live this out, be at peace with each other, and be at peace with God, living as he would have you live because of his grace. So the blessing that Paul uses at the end of this letter gathers up all that he has written to the church in Ephesus. From the beginning to the end, he says, all this stuff that I've written about, may you now truly receive it. May you receive God's blessing of peace and grace. May you know the love and faithfulness that come from God. Paul says, these are the things that I desire for you. So Paul ends his letter by sending Tychicus to encourage the believers and pray a prayer of blessing. Paul's attitude is twofold at a time of difficulty. There's a balance of self-care, recognizing that he needs their support. But that's also balanced by him not being self-centered. So he asks for the support. Support from others, support from God. Paul says, I know how much I need God's strength. I know how much I may falter. I know how I may become fearful. So please pray that I be fearless. Paul knew that in prison his fear could overtake him. So there is a humility to Paul. He recognizes his weakness and his need of God's power and strength. Paul doesn't deny that things are tough. He doesn't say, just think about all the other things that people are suffering with in the world, and that makes you realize my stuff isn't so bad. He was deeply honest. Paul acknowledges the reality of his situation and the spiritual struggle he is in and how bad it is. He asks for support. Notice that Paul voices his struggle to others. And there is something important about authenticity in the church. Where we can say when things are difficult. Where the church can be a safe space where this happens. Where we can ask for support like Paul asked for support. But then you have the flip side. Notice that in asking for support and recognizing what he's going through, he doesn't lose focus on serving others. He doesn't lose hold of that call of God for us to serve each other in love. Paul didn't stop thinking of others, didn't stop thinking of their need for encouragement, of their need for spiritual growth. He didn't stop thinking about other people's needs alongside his own. Paul doesn't become self-focused, but remains other-focused in his attitude. He wants to see the church at Ephesus blessed. even though he is suffering at that moment in time. He does what he can from his place of imprisonment to see that blessing happen. He sends Tychicus. He offers up a prayer of blessing for them. You know, Paul is like Christ, who on the cross, when facing immense physical pain and suffering, could still focus on others and say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." There is something important in Paul's attitude here. Yes, be honest about what you're going through. Yes, ask for the support that you need. But in the midst of that, don't lose hold of serving others in a faithful love, of being there for others, of wanting to see the best for others, of wanting to see others blessed, even though we may be going through, let's face it, sometimes it's like hell we're going through. But remember to always seek the blessing of others in the midst of your suffering. Paul's attitude when facing that time of difficulty is one of self-care whilst not being self-centered. And I think these are good words for us to remember as we come to the end of Ephesians. We remember that the need for us to be faithful servants, faithful servants in Christ, faithful servants of God, faithful servants of each other. But we also remember that balance, that when we are in that spiritual battle, when we're in that dark time, don't lose hold of the fact of being there for others as well. Yes, say what you need, but also don't become self-centered in the midst of that. We're going to go into a time of communion in a short while, and it's good for us to remember the faithful service of Christ, the one who died on that cross. Let's pray. Lord, as we remember your faithful service, we pray, Lord, that you may inspire us to be faithful in service of you and faithful in service of each other. That your love for all humanity may become our love for all humanity and our love for you. That we may mirror what you have done. That we give ourselves sacrificially in service of you and of each other, just as Tychicus did. So Lord, bless us as we come to communion this morning. Inspire us to faithfulness. Inspire us to live as you would have us live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.